Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. This is our special recap Christmas edition, and we're very excited you're jumping on with us on this beautiful Christmas morning. We hope all of you have enjoyed your Christmas thus far. We've got a lot to catch you up on, though, on the other side of things, so welcome aboard. Let's kick this show off with some incredible stories that we've covered for you on this program. We break the news before the news actually breaks on the mainstream media. And we're very excited about that. We like to highlight that as many times as we possibly can because we're doing incredible work over here. And we're proud of that. We're proud of that. I've had some incredible guests over the years on this show, or over the months, I guess I should say, on this show. And we have dropped some incredible interviews. Specifically, though, you know, one of my favorites to have on the program, Larry Taunton. Larry is an independent journalist who has traveled abroad, and he has been blowing the whistle in regards to the Islamic takeover that's been taking place. And he has traveled all across the Middle East, and he joined me to discuss just that and what he's uncovered through his travels. And so we look forward to having him on today. We also look forward to having Viva Fry on the program as well. Now, as many of you guys know, Viva's Canadian. We'll forgive him for that. But he's an incredible attorney, and he's also a great podcaster as well. And he gives us so much insight onto so many key issues. He's been weighing in and going through all the evidence regarding the January 6th pipe bomb suspect. And he joined us to give us a fair shake as to what his thoughts are thus far. So that was definitely an incredible interview. We're also going to be playing back one of my favorite ones as well. Liz Harrington. If you don't know who Liz is, I don't know where you've been. Liz is a former spokesperson for President Donald Trump. And she shoots straight. She shoots straight. That's why I'm so glad to have her on this program all the time, because when she comes on this show, she gives us all the information that we need to know, and she doesn't give you that little fluffy PR cushy angle to it. We had Liz Harrington on the program, and she detailed specifically the corruption that we're seeing within the DOJ, how we're not getting rid of corrupt prosecutors. I mean, that's the specific part in her whole argument, is how she is so infuriated by that. Those who led the persecution against President Trump and others are still working over the Department of Injustice. I could use that term these days. She also sounded off on the pipe bomber case as well, because she thinks that there's a lot here that we're not hearing about. And Liz has had enough. So she joined us to discuss just that. Plus, also going to be joining us and reflecting on our interview will be Ken Silva. Ken Silva does an incredible job over at Headline USA. He digs through all of the court documents that nobody else wants to actually do, and then the rest of the journalists steal his work. But he's done an incredible job thus far at digging into all of this. And it was a really enlightening conversation to have with him, and it caused quite the, stir. He joined us to discuss Dan Bongino and Kash Patel as well. And how Dan Bongino was considering at the time, we discussed this with him, stepping down from the FBI. So we'll take a look at that one, because that one was very impactful behind the scenes of everything. We'll also be speaking with Aaron Wright. We had him in studio. As many of you guys know, Aaron is running for Texas AG. He's got the backing of the best attorney general we have in the country, Mr. Ken Paxton. Paxton actually backs Aaron. He wants him to be the replacement, because he knows that Aaron Wright is a fighter, and Aaron doesn't back down anytime soon. And he's not going to. I mean, this guy is a champ. He wants to go out there, and he wants to fight for Texans, and he's not a career politician, which is something I love. He joins me constantly, though, in studio, which is an honor to have him here, of course. And we're going to look back at one of my favorite interviews you did with him specifically on the surge in Islamic extremism, and he details just that for us. Also, though, I want to get to, before we dive into the show, in the meantime, to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because right now we have the ultimate power. Now, we just launched this formula earlier last week, and folks, this is going to be one of our top sellers. It helps with energy, focus, blood flow, and endurance, and it is quite the tasty powder, I have to say. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag some while you still can, of course. And the more you buy, the more you save. When you purchase 3 bottles, you get 30% off, 2 bottles, 20% off, and 1 bottle, you get 10% off. Only over at thealexjonesstore.com. And every purchase gets you 100 entries to win a Ford Raptor and $10,000 in cash. Now, that giveaway, of course, not going to last forever. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. All right, we got a lot to dive into. So don't go anywhere. We've got plenty more to discuss in just a sec.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow. Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
With your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you guys are joining us in the third hour of the program. A lot more to dive into, so thank you for staying put. All right, folks, if you heard the great news, Florida is finally catching up with Texas, and they've just officially designated the Muslim Brotherhood in CARE as a terrorist organization. Now, obviously, that doesn't have those groups very, very happy, and they are threatening lawsuits. But Florida Governor Ron DeSantis isn't backing down. In clip 18, he says he actually welcomes those lawsuits. Take a listen.
But we welcome that. I mean, you know, we did do the designation for both the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE. This is something that has been a long time coming. I know the federal government's now working in a similar direction. The legislature is working on statutory laws that are going to impact this area. So I think our executive order is kind of the beginning. I think you're going to see statutory codification of how we handle different terror designations. But I welcome the lawsuit, because what will happen is that will give the state of Florida discovery rights.
Well, that's good news for the state of Florida. Joining me to discuss is Aaron Wright. He's running for Texas AG, and he joins us now. You were the first one on this, though, I have to say, the Islam issue. And so it's exciting to have you on the show. What's your reaction to seeing Florida now catching up with Texas?
Well, I'm very happy to see what's happening in Florida. But you're right. Texas led the way on this issue with just last month, Governor Abbott declaring the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE as foreign terrorist organizations. But not just that, it was actually Attorney General Ken Paxton who earlier this spring launched a multi-pronged investigation into what's now known as Epic City. They've renamed it to The Meadow to avoid scrutiny. It's a little bit less scary sounding. But Texas has been on the cutting edge of this. And then in particular in this attorney general's race, as I'm campaigning around the state, I was the first one right out of the gate to call the Islamists what they are, which is total anathema to American civilization. I love to see what Florida's doing. And the fact that Governor Abbott in Texas has declared CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood foreign terrorist organizations, it actually triggers, through that executive action, it triggers dozens of provisions in state law empowering the attorney general to go smoke these organizations out, go after their C3s, their C4s, their corporate entities. And really what I've said as a candidate for attorney general and what I like to see Ken Paxton doing right now is treating the Islamists in Texas like the feds treated the mafia in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We all knew what they were doing. But how many mob bosses did we put away for committing murder? Probably zero or very few. But what we got them on were on the financial crimes, racketeering, laundering, human trafficking, drug trafficking, other process and financial related crimes that allowed us to basically suffocate them to such a degree that they could no longer operate. As the attorney general, I'm going to do that. We are going to smoke out the Islamists in Texas so that they can either self-deport back to their Stone Age countries overseas, or they could just relocate to Ilhan Omar's district and enjoy the Islamification that's happening up there.
I'm sure they would love it. I'm sure they would love it. And I hear the weather is beautiful this time of year as well.
Sure, yeah.
That's what we need to start doing. And, you know, as you say, you've been endorsed by Ken Paxton, which is the reason why I was so excited to meet you, because Ken Paxton is the best attorney general we have in the state, just in the country alone.
Right.
Very fierce, going out there, going after these groups and holding them accountable. And he just actually filed this lawsuit against Epic.
Yep.
I know that they want to change their name to The Meadow, but I'm not going to back down anytime soon. We've put a black eye on their reputation. That's why they have this PR group that they hire trying to rebrand them. But this is great news. So he's filed this lawsuit, and it looks like this might be a big issue for them. Specifically, you know, he's saying that they've done that, they purchased this land, they're going to cause a lot of harm to the land itself. But they also are probably going to track down the money and how they were able to purchase this. Is that probably what's going on here?
That is what's happening here. Yeah. And that's really what we have to do with all of these Islamist-type groups, but also the Soros-funded groups, these radical left-wing groups that have created an environment of not just anti-Americanism, but really violence, hostility towards our state and our nation and our values, hostility towards our faith. Now, in particular on the Islamic issue, yes, Ken Paxton, when he launched his investigation earlier this spring, he was able to collect all the papers, like just like any government investigation looks like, compile the evidence, work with the Texas State Securities Board, which oversees and enforces state securities law here in the state, compile the package. Texas State Securities Board then made a referral over to the AG's office saying, yeah, we found a bunch of dirt here. That referral then empowered the AG to take action under state law to bring this lawsuit. So again, it's similar to what I said a minute ago. We got to treat these groups like the mafia. It may be difficult to catch the Islamists red-handed holding like below ground their Sharia courts. But what we know is that they're up to no good. And they have misled people about the nature of their corporate enterprise known as Epic City, which was managed by an organization called Capital Community Partners, which they've rebranded and renamed with the PR firms that they've hired. I think that this lawsuit's going to be highly successful. We're going to get them on financial crimes. Now, naturally, CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, the Epic City's lawyers, they are well-heeled with lawyers and PR firms. They're responding and saying, well, this is discriminatory. These are free speech violations. This is an abuse of power. It's BS. We're coming after you. If you don't like what we're doing, you can either submit totally or you can leave the state of Texas. So we're going to get them on financial crimes. And I think what's important is, to the extent these investigations and lawsuits continue past A.G. Paxton's time, there's only one person that Paxton has trusted and designated as his chosen successor to really carry that mantle forward, and it's me. It's why I'm running for attorney general, so I can keep my foot on the gas to smoke out, remove, and hold accountable the Islamists and their vast network of money laundering schemes, for-profit entities, nonprofit entities, and PACs. That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, we're excited about this because, again, we've been trying our very best to blow the whistle on this. You know, Amy Mack and other incredible journalists, yes, Laura Loomer, have been doing their best at exposing this. But sadly, there haven't been many politicians who are willing to get into this fight.
Right.
In Dallas alone, where I'm at, 2 years, 48 mosques popped up.
Right.
And a lot of the times when you're selling your property, you know, we've learned this the hard way. My family in New York, my aunt, she sold her farm and then popped up a mosque on that land shortly after. They don't tell you what they're going to do with the land because they don't want you to hold off on the sale. But this is what's happening right now in Texas as well. And it's a big issue. But again, we haven't heard from these career politicians on this subject matter at all until they started polling and they realized Americans really care about this.
Right.
Specifically, I'm going to call out one of the guys who's running against you right now for AG. Let's talk about Chip Roy, because he's obviously been in Congress for a few years now, and he's had the opportunity to call this out, but he just recently jumped on board and has been calling this out. And he gives us all these great sound bites, but there's not much in the way of action. And when it comes to who's gotten the endorsement, the blessing of Ken Paxton, it's been you, not him.
Right.
Where was Chip Roy in all of this?
I don't know where Chip Roy has been. In fact, you know, like you said, this is somebody who jumped in. He read where the polls were at and said, I'm going to take the lead on this and use his platform as a congressman to all of a sudden wake up to the issue. Where has Chip Roy been? He's had almost a decade in Congress to tackle this issue, and yet he's been completely absent from the field taking action. This is why President Trump has been so critical of Chip Roy over the years, calling him a do-nothing grandstander, a rhino, not very smart, not effective. This is why, literally as late as 1 year ago this month, in December of 2024, President Trump was calling for Chip Roy to be removed from Congress as a result of his belligerence, opposition to President Trump, opposition to MAGA voters, opposition to Ken Paxton. This Chip Roy is going to be, he is the United States Congress's most angry, unstable, never Trumper, and has been railing. Remember, in January of 2021, Chip Roy called for President Trump to be impeached. He was the first elected official in America to call for Ken Paxton to be removed from office in 2020, and then went on a speaking spree in 2023, urging for the House and the State Senate to impeach and convict Ken Paxton. And so voters aren't going to be fooled by this. What voters are going to see, on the other hand, is they're going to see me, somebody who has been vetted and selected by President Trump to serve in the senior ranks of the Justice Department. When I was the presidentially appointed Senate-confirmed head of the Office of Legal Policy at DOJ, he said Aaron Reitz is a true MAGA attorney and a warrior for the Constitution. This is also why Paxton has endorsed me to succeed him, because of my record litigating, investigating, suing, defending, and appealing on all the major issues that we care about, because I, in my various legal leadership roles, I've never been afraid of my own shadow. I'm here to go to war against the forces of the left. And all I do is I lead legal troops into legal combat to deliver wins for our values. And one of my top targets moving forward is going to be the Islamists in Texas. I love to see what Paxton's doing right now, and we're just going to turn up the heat when I'm elected AG. Chip Roy, on the other hand, you can't trust him. He's already betrayed the president, betrayed Ken Paxton, betrayed MAGA voters, betrayed our country, and flip-flopped on every issue under the sun. You can't rely on him to deliver the wins like I can moving forward.
Yeah, and it's almost like he's trying to rewrite history. Because here's my problem, right? Before he even announced that he was running, I've made several attempts to get him on, not just my show, I was producing other shows, and I was trying to get him on other shows. He'd constantly put out, his team would send me these press releases about all the great things he's doing in Congress, and, you know, no bias, we just wanted to have him on.
Sure.
And they would ignore us, but continue to send us the press releases and want us just to promote the press conferences he was having out in front of the Capitol and other places. And we don't feed into the propaganda, so, you know, we just kind of left it alone. But several times I reached out to him, even on X, I'll ask him, what have you done? Just simple questions, what have you done? And he can't give me a response. And I know he sees when I'm writing, because if I say a specific person's name, he reaches out to them and tries to get them to align with him.
Yeah.
So he's a man who doesn't really have much in the way of actions, and yet he's trying to pretend like he is the strongest, most conservative candidate we have right now. But when Ken Paxton was being targeted, it was a political hit job. It wasn't
totally.
There was no valid reason for them to go after him at all.
Yep.
He jumped on board with the swamp and decided to go after him too. Same thing with President Trump. And he looked very uncomfortable when you guys were on stage a couple of days ago together. Tell us how this went, because you guys were on stage and it looks very uncomfortable if you're Chip Roy.
Yeah, well, and it should be uncomfortable for Chip Roy. Chip is, as you said, I mean, he's trying to rewrite history, or he's trying to exploit people's short memories.
Mm-hmm.
His operating philosophy in this campaign is that they won't remember that I called for Chip Roy, for President Trump to be impeached. His theory is they won't remember that I aligned with Mike Pence to certify the stolen election. They won't remember that I went to the hilt to defend my best friend, he called her, Liz Cheney. They won't remember that. He's hoping that voters won't remember his treacheries against Paxton over the course of many, many years. Now, look, this is part of the reason why he typically will avoid these debates and forums, because here we are with no filter. And I have no choice but to call him out for those treacheries, and voters respond. You know, a poll came out earlier this month that showed how catastrophic Chip Roy's negatives are. It is true he enjoys higher name ID. Why? Because he's a press release machine. All he does is go on the news and talk, and people say, oh, he's a real fighter. There's no fight.
Mm-mm.
As we say in Texas, it's all hat, no cattle. It's just yelling belligerently red-faced at whatever the thing of the day is, but there's no substance there. You contrast that with my record litigating, investigating, suing, defending, and appealing on all the major issues that we care about: election integrity, border security, free speech, religious liberty, pro-life values, pro-family, anti-crime, pro-law enforcement. My record in court, up and down the justice system in both federal and state systems, is vast, and Chip can't hold a candle to it. And so we're calling out Chip for what he is: deeply never Trump, inflicted with a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome. And we're not going to allow him during campaign season to just pretend like he's Mr. Ultra Mega MAGA. He's not. Voters don't buy it.
Yeah, they don't buy it, and that's the issue here. And he's going to learn the hard way. I have a real feeling about that one. I just don't understand the math here as to why he even ran in the first place. You know, I was talking to people in D.C., and they're like, well, it's because the rest of us want him gone from D.C.,
but
we can't sacrifice our seat.
Like most of Chip's career progressions, he is failing upwards. There's almost not a job that he has not been fired from. In fact, when he was Paxton's chief deputy, Paxton fired him. he's worked for Cruz, got fired. He worked for Cornyn, got fired. He's been fired from everything. And right now, he's in the United States Congress, And it's good for Republicans to make all the right enemies. Mm-hmm. I've got all the right enemies, mm-hmm. the right people. When I got confirmed by the United States Senate for my post at DOJ, the senior Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Dick Durbin, said I was a menace to the rule of law and a danger to democracy. Cory Booker, during my confirmation hearing, said I sent chills down his spine. Now, I don't know if he was flirting with me or
might
what.
Have been flirting.
He might have been flirting with me. He just got married couple weeks ago, but we don't believe it. But in any event, I've got the right enemies. Chip is loathed by all. Mm. He'll never get a chairmanship. He'll never get a committee. He'll never get a subcommittee. He'll never get invited to the White House. And now what is he doing? Now that he's got his congressional pension locked in, he says, oh, I want to try my hand at the next thing. But again, voters won't buy it. And I think that Chip Roy's political career is going to go down in flames here pretty soon.
Yeah, and I think one of his like little punchbacks was that like he's been elected several times, and as if like we want politicians who are career politicians to continue to represent us.
Exactly.
The finger is not on the pulse of the American people, nor Texans, and so it's not looking good for him at all, I'd say. I want to switch gears up a little bit, though, because things are looking good in Texas. It looks like the Supreme Court has officially given its blessing regarding the congressional maps for the 2026 midterms. Yeah. Your thought on all of this, because obviously this is a blessing in disguise given the fact that we just got rid of Jasmine Crockett's seat. We'll talk about the latest struggle we have.
Yeah,
but
right.
Your thoughts on the Supreme Court's ruling there?
Look, the Supreme Court got it right. In a 6-3 decision, it made clear what we all knew as the state of Texas was working on its maps, that these were done lawfully, mm-hmm. in accordance with the United States Constitution and in accordance with all the related federal and state statutes. This was a good map drawing exercise. It was legitimate for the state legislature to do what it did. And yet, of course, because I've lived this in my career as a lawyer and litigator on behalf of the state, is you get all these left-wing groups that want to come and sue the state of Texas, and they scream foul. They say racism. They say Voting Rights Act violations. They say Civil Rights Act violations. They say 14th Amendment violations. Been there, done that. I'm familiar with their playbook. And as expected, they lost. Now, we got this bizarre ruling at the district court level with this 2-1 decision where even a Republican judge ruled against the state of Texas, but the Fifth Circuit delivered a win for Texas. And then ultimately, Texas was vindicated in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. What does this mean? It affirms what I just said, which is that the lines were constitutional and legal. But it also means that the practical effects is that Texas will now have better representation in Washington. These lines were redrawn to better reflect the political values of our state, which is to say Texas is Republican, Texas is red, Texas is MAGA, Texas is conservative. And these new lines that adds 5 new Republican congressional seats, mm-hmm. to send Texas voices to Washington, it means that we're going to be better represented. That to me is democracy. When Democrats say our democracy, when they say that Aaron Wright's, as I did when I got confirmed by the Senate, is a danger to democracy, right? We know what they mean by democracy. Yeah. They just mean their radical left-wing communist, you know, version of that, right? This is good for Texas. This is good for the rule of law. The court reached a sound decision. And look, libs are going to seethe and cry over this, but too bad. If they want to try to win their seats, they ought to campaign better. They ought to put up better candidates. They ought to have better policies. They ought to stop allying themselves with the radical fringe of their party. They got to stop putting up people like Jasmine Crockett, who are radical leftists, who's going to go down in flames. This is good. And I'll tell you this. My final thought on this map is this is an example of what good lawyering on behalf of the state of Texas looks like. Ken Paxton took decisive, rapid, energetic and effective action to defend the maps. My opponents in this race need training wheels just to figure out what they're doing if they ever have a chance of becoming attorney general. With me, I don't need training wheels. Paxton has already designated me as his preferred successor by endorsing me. If the state of Texas, we're going to be dealing with this stuff for years and years to come. Mm-hmm. You need an attorney general who's ready to go to war at the drop of a hat, who knows the offensive and defensive and the special teams playbooks, who can run successful plays just like that and score touchdowns for our movement and for our state. That's what I do. If the keys to this office were in any other hands, I'm sorry, we might not have those maps. But thanks to Paxton and thanks to the work that I have done for Paxton and that I'll do into the future, Texas is going to be defended and vindicated in court.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because we need to see this happen. We need the representation in D.C. because, folks, we sit back and we watch all the time. I mean, Democrats have completely figured this out. They've obviously been manipulating. They've been manipulating the census for quite some time now, and they've been trying to capture illegal aliens into their vote to get more seats. And this is a good way to start pushing back on all of these fronts. Before you go, though, obviously you're friends with Ken Paxton, and we have to get this one in. Jasmine Crockett. Okay, we did a good job. We really fought hard for this country. Our gift, Texas gift to the rest of the country, was getting rid of her congressional seat. But now it looks like she's going to try to run for Senate. Obviously, that's not going to go over well. She actually doesn't do math either because she thinks that even though President Trump won Texas by 56% of the vote, percentage of the vote, she is now trying to sit there and say, I don't need to earn Trump supporters' votes. And she's going to win anyway. The numbers are so miraculous that they're going to back her. And the numbers against Paxton and her are incredible. And everyone's going to support her, even Trump support. I mean, doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. But here's an important takeaway, right? The part of the reason why Jasmine Crockett got in this race is not only because she lost her seat, but she actually, even if she didn't lose her seat, she's polling the highest among Democrats. Mm-hmm. This actually goes to show you how radical the Democrat base is right now, that they prefer Jasmine Crockett, who is an unhinged, untalented, unintelligent, wild leftist. I mean, a radical's radical. And yet she's the preferred Democratic nominee for the United States Senate right now. That shows you where the Democrat base is. I expect that Jasmine Crockett will secure the Democratic nomination and then get destroyed by Ken Paxton in the general election come November. So, look, I'm here for it. I think it increased the entertainment levels of this race for sure. And so, you know, the memes, I think, are going to write themselves. We're going to have a good time. And, you know, who knows? We should set up a Polymarket betting page for which accent Jasmine Crockett is going to use each day, depending on which audience. She's just a cipher. Yeah. And a liar. And so, look, welcome to the party, Jasmine. You're going to get destroyed.
It's good to see, though. You know, Sarah Gonzalez called her out to her face, and she didn't like it. She was very caught off guard, and they had to drag Sarah out of one of her events to get her to stop doing what she was doing. But Sarah was right. She fakes it. She went to private school. I mean, she pretends to be this woman who, I guess she's just trying to make herself feel like she's an average American and this is her way of doing it. The exact quote that Sarah Gonzalez used was fake ghetto hood rat. she probably
accurate.
That trademark.
Yeah. Accurate, yes.
It's pretty accurate, but her video, and we've got about 30 seconds left, but her video, her announcement video, is just her face. And Jake Tapper asked her about it. And she's like, we wanted to try something different because Trump finds me as a threat.
Yeah, right. But actually, what's funny about her video is she's just so enamored with herself. Yeah. You can just see, and you know, she's looking off camera while Trump is saying, and then it's like this dramatic, and I can't do the hair flip. Obviously, you could do this, but turns directly to the camera and is like, I'm here to be a boss. And it's like, get out of here, Jasmine. Yeah. Nobody buys your sass. Nobody is here for this, and you're going to lose. Good luck.
Good luck to Jasmine Crockett. It's going to be a fun one, though. You know, as somebody who has to do a three-hour show every single day, it will be unlimited content.
Unlimited content.
So right. I look forward to a debate, too. I really hope she gets far enough into this where her and Ken could be on stage together debating, because I think that's going to be endless laughs.
Agree.
Aaron, thank you for joining us. To our audience who want to learn more about your campaign, where can they head to?
Well, I would encourage people to go to my website, aaronwrites.com. AaronReitz, or you could just Google my name on any social media platform, Aaron Reitz, Reitz, very active on X, Facebook, Instagram, and the whole nine yards. So we look forward to earning people's support before the end of the year, and we'll see folks out on the campaign trail.
We look forward to that as well. Folks, right now, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have 40% off going on site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's time to get your Christmas gifts ordered. Don't be late, because you don't want to sit there and hope and pray that your order gets here in time. Now is the best time to do that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right this second. No promo code needed for that 40% off discount.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling Ultra Methylene Blue, Iris CMOS gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our Ultra Methylene Blue, that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking Methylene Blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalist. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Iris CMOS, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operations, the true thorn on the side of the globals on the air. And separately, the classic Nitric Boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it in the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that Methylene Blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. I'm trying to cool off after that one because, folks, I'm really triggered by our FBI DOJ these days. They're doing absolutely nothing. We're going to get into that in a little bit with Ken Silva in just a moment. But first, I wanted to let you know that the jobs report just came in and just wanted to break down the data for you. When it comes to that, it looks like, a little good news, the non-farm payrolls rose. It was expected to be around 50,000 for November, but it reached about 64,000. The U.S. lost about 105,000 jobs, it looks like, back in October, which is down from 119,000 jobs that were lost in September. And the unemployment rate it's rising a little bit. It's about 4.6% last month compared to 4.5% in September of 2021. So again, I mean, that's the numbers trickling down from the jobs report. So I want to make sure I brought you the very latest on that front as well. All right, let's kick things off by talking about the FBI. We'll give them a little bit of credit when credit's due. It looks like they possibly prevented a left-wing terrorist attack that was supposed to take place on New Year's Eve, it looks like. The FBI alleging that these four, look at those eyes. Man, oh man. Sobriety. Probably. No? Maybe not. Who knows? But these four are facing allegations that they were looking to carry out a terrorist attack in Los Angeles, across Los Angeles. They were looking to drop explosives throughout the city. And apparently, according to the FBI, the group is called Turtle Island Liberation Front. And they were looking to possibly set off a bunch of explosives all around the city. Joining me to discuss is the editor over at Headline USA, Ken Silva. He's read through the criminal complaints. He's gone through all the evidence that they've presented thus far, and he joins me to break it all down. He's a great follow. Also on X, if you haven't done so already, give him a follow at JD_cashless. Make sure you do that now as well. Ken, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on. All right. So we were covering it yesterday when the press conference was happening, and I told our audience to hold back. Don't jump on anything yet, because we know that the FBI has a habit of, let's just say, leading people to carry out potential plots. And then they, you know, say, oh, look at us, we caught these people. But there's a bulk of these individuals who are usually being paid by the agency itself. So I told everyone to hold off and wait. So far from what you've seen in the criminal complaint and that press conference that was held yesterday, what are we learning?
Yeah, I know, Brianna, you want to give FBI credits where it's due, but I do have a lot of questions about this case. Whether or not the four defendants are like commie freaks that would hate you and me, I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. But whether this was a legitimate terrorist plot is a whole nother question. And, you know, reading through the criminal complaint, I've got a lot of questions about that. I mean, it basically says that one of the defendants gave an FBI informant an 8-page bombing plan in late November. They had another meeting on December 7th, a meeting in which the FBI informant and an undercover agent were also present with the four defendants. And then they go out to the desert on December 12th to construct these explosives and do kind of a test run. And that's when the bust was made. So, you know, right off the bat, there's questions about why was this FBI informant involved with the group in the first place? What was the criminal predicate? The complaint says this informant has been working for the Fed since 2021 as a paid informant, not a criminal that they flipped. You know, there's questions why the undercover FBI agent was involved too. You know, even with like the Whitmer Fed napping plot, you know, that indictment reads that some FBI informant was on Facebook and saw, you know, violent rhetoric by the militias in early 2020, and that's how he became involved. We know now that that's a BS story, but at least they tried to give us a story. Here, you know, we don't have any information. And then there's a question about the sophistication and whether these defendants would be able to pull off this plot by themselves in the first place. We don't know who drafted this 8-page bombing plan. And, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this FBI busting an ISIS plot to commit mass shootings on Halloween. And that actually looked more legitimate to me, you know, a more legitimate reason for the FBI to intervene, because, of course, any person could just grab a rifle and go commit a mass shooting. But here, there's a level of sophistication that's needed that doesn't seem to be present. I mean, I'm quoting straight from the criminal complaint here. At one point on December 11th, one of the defendants says, after further research, I retract my earlier statement of specializing in electrical work. I have the basics down, but building circuits is beyond me, and the circuits would be needed for the digital timer. So it doesn't seem like these defendants, you know, would have been able to construct bombs that would have been able to do any kind of damage, which they're alleged to do. They're alleged to have been planning to carry it out on New Year's Day. So, you know, we need more information about this. And I guess the last thing I'll say about this LA field office is we had, you know, one of the sketchiest cases I've seen in quite a while happened in May, where a suspect bombed a fertility clinic and died in that attack. And then the suspect, the person who sold him explosives, was arrested and supposedly committed suicide in prison. And the suspect's girlfriend also committed suicide. And then we had a press conference with the same FBI official involved in this case, getting asked a question about the FBI actually monitoring the suspect's home the week before the attack. And he says, oh, I can't comment on that. And the press conference was immediately shut down. So I'm not saying these two cases are related, but this field office does have kind of a track record in these kind of sketchy operations, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's key to highlight just that, because again, folks, we need to know this. I mean, the fact that I watched your clip that you posted on your X page, Ken, and I, again, remind our audience to go give you a follow because you're the first one to put these things up. And these things are really important for everyone to hear. I mean, I listened, and literally, as soon as the reporter asked, he says, I cannot confirm. And then quickly they sweep it and push them all out of the room. So again, this is why so many people do not trust this federal agency, because you see things like that and you go, why can't you just answer a simple question? It has no real reasoning to not be answered unless you don't want to highlight your own failures or why you intentionally just didn't make a move at the time. I mean, you could have obviously prevented that possibly from taking place, and maybe that's the reason why they do that. But I also want to highlight this because, you know, yesterday we were trying to buckle down and wait for them to show the footage in regards to that test run they said was carried out in the desert. And the FBI took their time with doing that. But we finally have the playback from that. So I want to play clip 11 and how they detail that dry run that they were talking about. Take a look.
A group of individuals, again, members of this anti-government group, traveled out to the desert to test their explosive devices. They had precursor chemicals there, and they were going to create these bombs in the desert. What they are starting to do is put their chemicals and wares and the components out on the table there. This footage that you're watching is from our surveillance plane, and then what happened after this is the Los Angeles FBI SWAT team, along with the FBI's hostage rescue team, moved in and arrested all four subjects without incident.
All right, Ken, I don't consider myself to be a genius, but if there's a airplane hovering over me or a drone hovering over me while I'm about to start testing explosives, I probably wouldn't do what I'm about to do. But they're claiming that this was shot from the airplane. And then it sounds like, and you could confirm it for me because you read through the criminal complaint, it sounds like immediately after were they arrested, or was this shortly after, a couple of days after? Like, how did this all go down?
They were arrested at the site. And in that footage, you see six people. Four of them were arrested. The other two were the undercover informant and the undercover agent. So I got to imagine the plane was pretty high up there. They probably didn't notice. Maybe they just thought it was a commercial airliner. But this goes to further underscore, you know, the lack of preparation. I mean, it seems like they hadn't even constructed a viable device before they were arrested. So again, I'm wondering, you know, the level of sophistication of these people. And I want to actually go further into the notion of this supposed 8-page bombing plan that we don't know who drafted or where it even came from. And that kind of reminds me of the January 6th Proud Boys sedition case, where that largely hinged on a document called the 1776 Returns Manifesto. And it turned out that somehow got in the Proud Boys chat group, but it was like a document for overthrowing the government. But it turned out that it was drafted by a self-described Israeli intelligence asset, and it was put on Google Drive, and it just somehow ended up in their chat room. So again, I wouldn't take the FBI's word for it that this was actually drafted and devised by the defendants arrested in this case.
Yeah, and I remember actually speaking with the individual who said that it was sent to her, and she just sent it around in that Proud Boys chat, and it sounded like it was intentionally planted or given to her. Somebody who didn't really know what she was doing with it just thought that she was going to forward it over because she thought it was important for the other guys to see. And then that was used against them. And it was something that really, really bothered her because she wasn't a willing participant in that. So, yeah, I remember that vividly. Ken, I want to turn to something else that just broke earlier this morning. It looks like Just the News, which they always get the exclusives. I joke and say it's a pipeline for the FBI these days to put out things without actually putting out things. And so they've sent this one over. And this one, though, it looks like we're about to get some new bombshell news from both the DOJ and the FBI in regards to the old Old Guard, not having enough probable cause to raid President Trump's home, Mar-a-Lago, back in 2022. Now, according to the report, these internal emails, which apparently are the FBI telling the DOJ there's not enough here, and the DOJ obviously is still just carrying out that search on Mar-a-Lago, these emails are now being handed off to Congress. Ken, I started the show off by screaming about how annoyed I am that we're continuously handing things off to Congress as a top prosecutor in the country, that literally the highest. They continue to give things over to Congress rather than show us any evidence that they're going to be charging the people behind all of this. What do you make of the latest report?
Yeah, this just seems par for the course as far as Cash Patel's modus operandi. I mean, what day are we on? You usually tweet almost every day, 300 some odd, without a single Biden or Obama administration official being arrested. So it seems like, yeah, Cash Patel gives just the news. A lot of these juicy documents showing that, you know, Russiagate had no criminal predicate. The Mar-a-Lago case was cooked up. Yeah, par for the course. I mean, let's remember that maybe Trump violated the letter of the law when it came to the classified information case. But of course, you know, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. It's very easy for the FBI to cook up these cases. And when they're politically motivated, of course, they're going to go for it. Let's not forget that, you know, Joe Biden was also mishandling classified documents, and Special Prosecutor Robert Hurd declined to prosecute him on the basis that he was kind of a doddering old man and he doesn't think he could get a conviction. And of course, I want to mention that the judge who signed off on this search warrant, the raid that apparently FBI agents had concerns about, according to Just the News, that's the judge who used to be business partners with Jeffrey Epstein. He had been working in the DOJ's Southern Florida office that was investigating an Epstein in 2007. And then he forms a law firm in the same office that Epstein would eventually serve his community, you know, his work release on. And he eventually ended up being Epstein's lawyer. So that's Bruce Reinhart. The case is dirty as hell, but, you know, let's see some arrests.
Yeah. And we're literally asking for the bare minimum. I mean, the charges that they did file, or did try to file, didn't land when it comes to like Tish James or, you know, James Comey, who we keep hearing updates on, all these missteps. But the key players in all of this, they just seem to look the other way on and just continue to show it. Like, it's like a shiny little toy, like, oh, look at what other crimes we found. And then they just shift it off to Congress as if Congress has the power to prosecute these people. It's absurd, but it's what's going on right now over at the DOJ. And, you know, we're hearing reports, Fox News actually reporting, I probably should get to this point too, since it's related, that Dan Bongino, it's kind of the same. Dan Bongino is weighing out potentially stepping away from the agency, saying within the coming weeks he's going to decide whether or not he stays as the deputy director. You know, I can't imagine Dan being very happy with all of this, obviously going out and attacking Miranda Devine for publishing a report that says he spends so much time on social media and that there's a lot of unprofessional things happening behind the scenes in all of this, and kind of getting a failed report card, both him and Director Patel. And then kind of proving them right by going after, you know, Devine in a tweet as well. So it looks like he might be stepping down. What do you make of this?
Well, I understand Dan's frustrations. I mean, he's kind of been made to look a fool from day one, where the FBI, presumably his underlings, gave him really terrible information about how Epstein couldn't have killed himself because we have the surveillance footage of inside the jail. He goes out and trumpets this. And then, of course, that surveillance footage didn't even show Epstein's cell. So it really proved nothing. And I think he got mad about that. There were rumblings about him threatening to resign at the time. And it seems like he's been totally neutered because we now have a co-deputy director. So I'm sure he's not happy about that. But yeah, he hasn't done himself any favors in attacking members of the media. And I think recently, with this pipe bomb case, he had been saying as a podcaster that it's an inside job. It was, you know, somebody in the government planted it. And then now in his capacity as deputy director, he's saying, no, it was this black autistic guy in Virginia. And, you know, I was just giving my opinion, which, of course, saying it's an inside job isn't an opinion. That's an analysis based off of facts that you know as a journalist. Like, an opinion is, should taxes be higher or lower? It's not, oh, this is an inside job. That's an analysis, which is why people liked him in the first place. So he's really destroyed his credibility. And he says that his plan is to return to the media circuit. And I'll be really curious to see how that goes, to see if he still has the same kind of following, because it seems like he's really burned a lot of bridges.
Yeah, it does. And it's unfortunate, because I know he went into this with the best intentions possible. But I think for the FBI, for the deep state operatives, it's actually a very masterful thing to allow to happen, because they have somehow burnt his credibility. I mean, coming forward and telling us the Epstein footage was going to be released soon, and it was going to be very clear that he did kill himself. And then we noticed that there was a couple of minutes worth of footage clipped out of it. Obviously, that does a lot to damage your reputation, plus so much more. So I can understand his frustrations, and I still, you know, don't want to challenge his credibility as a person, because I know that Dan went in with the best intentions possible. But the reality of it is, I mean, this has been a PR nightmare without very little support on his behalf. And it is hard to kind of sit back and watch. And we've had to sit back and watch for quite some time. And I've been very lenient because of the person that we've known, the podcast we've known for quite some time now. I didn't think that there was a way that he was going to do all of this and kind of allow this to happen. But unfortunately, it has taken place. So I think the best case scenario is for him to step away from this, because it seems like if he does, the evidence is very clear that there's a lot going on internally at the FBI, and they are not the ones in control. And that's me being very generous, of course. I want to shift gears a little bit, though, to clip 12, because it looks like that Brown University shooting that took place over the weekend, we're waiting to see more information. We're getting grainy, crappy footage, surveillance footage, and it's not even footage from Brown University. Like, the footage is literally from door ring bells, the ring doorbells. And they want us to think that, oh, this is the footage. Brown University apparently has no cameras anywhere, which is hard to wrap my mind around, especially given the fact that it's Brown University. And then we get these still images where you can't see the person's face. You can't see much on them. And so they want us to help solve this case, but they won't even tell us the basics, even what this person screened out before opening fire. But it looks like local PD is in a little bit of a feud with the FBI itself. Take a listen to clip 12.
The FBI director specifically said in his tweet that it was a tip from Providence Police that led you all to Hampton Inn. Can you confirm if that's true, and what exactly was the evidence that led you to this person of interest?
Yes, so it was a tip that came in, just like we were taking any other tips, and that one came in specifically identifying a person of interest, which was this individual. And so we, our detectives got on it, just like they got on another, but in this specific one, it was actually picked up by the FBI, and they followed through with it. And they ended up coming and locating this individual of interest, and at that point, we did a thorough investigation, ended up drafting some search warrants, came up with some evidence, but that evidence was examined, and we didn't have enough, obviously, to be able to prosecute anybody, and so the person was released. Go ahead, Thomas.
All right, to jump into this too, it's important to note that the president of the United States tweeted out that the suspect was apprehended, and then all of a sudden reversed that statement. I think it's probably clear that the FBI was the one that alerted them to that. That's just kind of me speculating at this point, because I don't think he's been asked that question as to who told him that the individual was in custody. But it's very, very clear that the local police aren't very happy with the FBI and all of this. What do you make of it?
Yeah, and so I saw that clip yesterday and I retweeted it, where the locals blame the FBI for detaining the suspect, and it turned out to be the wrong guy. And I got pushback saying, well, this was a tip that was given to the locals and they just passed it to the FBI to run it down. So that's like a legitimate counterpoint. But of course, there's the issue that Kash Patel goes on Twitter and says, hey, we have a suspect detained. And obviously Patel, well, not obviously, but I highly suspect that he was the one that probably told Trump who tweeted it out. And this is a huge public safety risk, because with the shooter still on the loose and people go back to their normal lives, like, that could have put them in danger. So, you know, it's another clown show reminiscent of the Charlie Kirk assassination case. And it's not going to, you know, inspire much confidence in our public institutions. You know, I guess At this point, maybe we could get Steve Baker on the case to do some gate recognition analysis. No, sorry.
Yeah. Well, Ken, you know, it's kind of crazy to me that this has all been going down for quite some time now, and there's very little like individuals stepping up to try to do something about this. We're talking about an attack that happened on Sunday, and we have zero pieces of evidence. And that in itself, to me, is what's really, really disturbing in all of it. And I'm really getting fed up with sitting back and watching as our government, the local PD, the federal agencies are just refusing to do anything. You know, we keep hearing that there are reports that this individual, before opening fire, screamed something out. Local journalists tried their very best to get local PD to even respond and to tell us what was said, literally saying, we played this clip earlier in the show, literally saying that if it's something that we think is going to be beneficial to our investigation, we'll release it. But, you know, Laura Loomer has reported that the individual screamed at Ali Akbar prior to opening fire. Now, again, that's her reporting. But the fact that they're not sharing any of this information to me is really infuriating. It's the reason why so many of us rely on just source leaks, because officials themselves don't want to confirm it. And this is how information could be factually true. And then we just kind of sit back and wait for it to be told to us. I mean, this could essentially, I guess this is where I'm going with all this. It could be something that others would be able to kind of figure out, oh, wait a minute, if you scream that out, I know who that person is. I've seen that Jack before. And it could add to someone else's suspicion, which leads to the tip, which leads to an arrest. But the fact they won't even tell you what was screamed out by this individual prior to opening fire and killing innocent people in that room is deeply concerning. Ken, we've got about 2 minutes left, or I should say 90 seconds left. What do you make of all of this when local police are just refusing to answer those simple questions?
Well, yeah, the fact this is a liberal college could, you know, Loomer's report could be legit. One of my first jobs was in the Oberlin, Ohio area, and you had this case where a black kid stole from a bakery, and the college kind of pushed the local police to not charge him because they didn't want, you know, backlash against like minorities. Mm-hmm. And this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And it just kind of highlighted how liberal schools, you know, for the sake of social justice or to cover up their image, they kind of suppress these politically inconvenient facts. And if that's the case, maybe the FBI just needs to take in charge of the investigation altogether. Although it seems like a case where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't really have much confidence in either institution, to be frank.
Yeah, Ken. I mean, I'm always trying to be optimistic here, but unfortunately, there's not much these days to be optimistic on. But you're doing incredible work, so we're thankful for that, folks. If you haven't done so already, head on over to his X page. Give him a follow. JD_cashless on X. You're first to everything, everything. So I highly recommend our audience do just that. Thanks for joining me, as always, Ken. We appreciate your reporting.
Yep, thank you.
All right, folks. Like I said, give him a follow on X. I'd highly recommend it. It is very, very important for you to do just that, because, again, he's first to everything. I mean, literally everything. He reads through the criminal complaints. He gets up the most critical parts of the criminal complaints. So he is a great follow on X. Okay. In the meantime, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, we have 60% off on some of your favorite supplements, of course. Sea moss gummies, one of your favorites. Methylene blue as well. And so much more. Also, the creatine gummies, those are also on sale as well. Those were just recently released. We've got them at a discounted price. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you place your orders by today. Again, this sale ends today. And in case you wanted to save extra money, make sure you become a subscriber as well. You get 50% off every month for life. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days, the rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off. On the ultramethylene blue, on the shilajit, on the Irish sea moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our ultramethylene blue. Get our shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful Beacon of Truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key, you're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the Sea Moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.